We got it? Okay. Good, thank you. It is 9:07 a.m. I'm going to call the order the City Council briefing meeting for March 6, 2013. Welcome all. We will have a short meeting this morning with a couple of important items, but we will. The council is going to Austin this afternoon and be meeting with our legislators. To begin, I would like to introduce Senior Pastor of Cliff Temple, Dr. Brent McDougall, who's been the pastor there since in Oak Cliff since 2010. Before moving to Dallas, he pastored churches and served as a denominational leader in Alabama. He holds a bachelor's degree from Emory University and a PhD in political science from the University of Alabama. Brent has a heart for the city and especially loves bringing different types of people together to work for the common good. He's married to Jennifer, a nurse at Methodist Central, and have two children, Christopher and Emily, and was very helpful in working with our formerly homeless in Cliff Manor. Dr. McDougall, thank you for your leadership in that, and please come to the podium and lead us in a word of prayer.
Thank you. Good morning. Let's pray together. Oh, Lord, I pray today for our mayor, for the city council, for all these workers, Lord, in this building, scattered throughout the city, many who got up much earlier than we did to serve the citizens. We pray for all those who are working today. What a difficult task it is to serve their constituents and to seek the common good, to balance the needs of the rich and the poor, the educated and the uneducated, those of sound mind and those of mental incapacity. All of these diverse cultures and languages that make this city such a beautiful place. My prayer is for renewal, that where there are ashes and devastation, that there might be beauty and restoration. Where there is despair, O God, let there be hope. Where there is mourning, let there be gladness. We desire a city, Lord, where children are safe, where the mentally ill are not thought of as being those to be pushed to the side, but those to be served and valued. We seek the end of domestic violence, the end of places where children and women feel unsafe. God, we pray for fathers today and for single women. We pray, oh God, for all those who are working in the city. We pray for safety and for your help. We pray that justice will roll down. And so my prayer today for this group of servants is that they might not grow weary. Help them to love one another. And if they cannot love one another, help them to share a common vision for the best of the city and at least be able to walk side by side. May Dallas be that city on a hill today. This is the day that's been given, the only day we've been promised. And so we look to you for strength and for guidance. Amen.
Amen. Please follow after me. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you, Dr. McDougall, and I think for the most part we do love one another here, so we'll try to have that in a common vision. Before we begin, I want to recognize a very important person to our meeting this morning. It is my honor to have the Consul General of Japan, Jotaro Yamamoto, here. Consul General, thank you. We participated with him. We participated with him in a wonderful event this summer called the Grassroots Summit. Thank you. That's the right word. Where they had citizens from Japan come live with citizens of North Texas. And it was a true Metroplex event. It started at Belly Bob's in Fort Worth and ended at the Symphony Hall where our SMU chorus sang for them, and it was a real experience, and I think we did a good job in North Texas. Consul General, do you want to say a word? Please, I'll let you speak at the mic.
Thank you very much. The Honorable Mike Rawlings, the Honorable City Council members, thank you very much for giving me the privilege to join these proceedings in the AA City Council chamber. I shall try to be brief, but the problem is I have so many words with so many thanks, appreciations, and commendations. As pointed out by the Honorable Mayor, we had the Japan-America Grassroots Summit in North Texas, which was closed on September 2nd last year. The Honorable Mayor attended both the opening and closing ceremony of the summit, by the way, which was held at the Myerson Symphony Center. And the Honorable Michael Rawlings reassured and encouraged the 180 guests from Japan and thousands of volunteers and supporters with his attendance and heartwarming, cheering orientations. Now, 6 months have passed. Now is the time to recall our sweet memories of our summit, renew the excitement, and strengthen the conviction for the value of Japan-Texas collaboration. The agenda deserves the constant, never-wavering attention from the people in Japan, from the people in Texas. Therefore, my thanks go to the Honorable Mayor Rawlings, the Honorable City Council members, Ms. Rachel Wallace, who by the way was Dallas local coordinator for the summit meeting, and other members of the protocol office. And my special thanks also go to Dallas Japanese Association, University of Texas at Dallas Asia Center, and the World Affairs Council of Dallas Fort Worth. I have so many people I need salute and commend. If the Mayor Rawlings kindly represents many people in Dallas and accepts my commendation, I shall be most obliged. My commendation is the Consul General of Japan extends his deepest regards to the Honorable Mr. Mike Rawlings, Mayor of Dallas, in recognition of his distinguished service in contributing to the deepening of mutual understanding and friendship between Japan and North Texas. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
And my deep gratitude also goes to the Japan America Society of Dallas Fort Worth, which was the real engine to make the summit possible. Today, we have the Society's Executive Director, Ms. Anna McFarland. Whenever I try to promote something on Japan America in North Texas, my Honorary Consul General, Mr. John Stick, is my constant navigator, and Ms. Anna McFarland is our effective organizer, inborn coordinator for the cause of Japan and America. She is a precious jewel. She and her society now plan another project towards the end of April to further expand the spirit of Brussels Summit as a kind of inevitable follow-up. I wish the society another great success. The Honorable Mayor, the Honorable Council members, Executive Directors of Japan America Society, you all have given me a lot of orientation. Now I have a clear image of what Americans are: respect for different values, cultural diversities, inter-ethnic face-to-face collaboration, that is America, and that is best represented by Texas, by the people in Texas. Very unfortunately, I may have to leave my post soon to assume a new mission in Tokyo. But it is a bit fortunate because I may continue to touch upon some aspects of Japan-America relations. I now understand, and only through such passage, Japan-U.S. alliance can be unique and never wavering. I will recall the Grassroots Summit. I will recall Mayer's comment on the closing ceremony. The Rangers will take you, Darvish, to the World Series. I said, it is you, Darvish, who will take the Rangers to the
hopefully
World Series. It may take place this season. I will recall that kind of sweet memories. And I will have more confidence whenever I say what America is, what America should be, all that bearing in mind the image of you and your people in Texas. To keep my convictions in America as represented by you, I personally try to work out a small key chain. This is shaped as a baseball, which is another symbol of Japan-U.S. friendship. And it says in very small letters, Japan, Texas, America, Texas. Japan, Texas, America, Texas. Well, I'm so happy to have so many Texas in Texas. Thank you very much indeed for everything. And with your permission, now I'd like to pass the certificate of my recommendation with a small baseball keychain to the Arabo
Mayor.
Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. We want to move to the next presentation. It's Ms. Medranos, and while she's going to the dais, I'd like to tell you that in Dallas County area, the Red Cross works tirelessly through its 51 employees and 5,200 volunteers when it helps disaster strikes. It provides 24-hour support to the members of the military, veterans, families. In 2012, they responded to 254 incidents, mostly home fires, and the Red Cross provided emergency assistance to 377 Dallas families. They were key when the tornadoes hit southern Dallas, and for that, Ms. Madonna would like to make a presentation.
Thank you very much. And is Mr. Smyers, and if you'll approach the podium, please. Yes, please. Thank you very much for being here this morning. Thank you. I am going to read the proclamation, and it reads, whereas March is American Red Cross Month, a special time to recognize and thank our heroes, those who volunteer, donate blood, take life-saving courses, or provide financial donations to support an organization whose mission is to help those in need. And whereas across the country, the American Red Cross represents and responds to nearly 70,000 disasters a year, provides some 400,000 services to military members, veterans, and civilians, collects and distributes about 40% of the nation's blood supply, and trains more than 7 million people in first aid, water safety, and other life-saving skills annually. And whereas in the Dallas County area, the American Red Cross works tirelessly through the 51 employees, the 5,220 volunteers to help when disaster strikes. someone needs like life-saving blood or the comfort of a helping hand. The organization provides 24-hour support to members of the military, veterans and their families, and others training in CPR, aquatic safety, and first aid. And whereas our community depends on the American Red Cross, which relies on donations of time, money, and blood to fulfill the humanitarian mission, despite these challenging economic times, the American Red Cross continues to offer help and comfort to those in need. And whereas we honor those who help all of us here in North Texas by giving their time to help their neighbor, and thank our heroes, our volunteers, blood donors, class takers, and financial supporters who help us assist in need. Now, therefore, I am Mike Rollins, Mayor of the City of Dallas, and on behalf of the Dallas City Council, hereby proclaim March as American Red Cross Month in Dallas, Texas. Yeah? Thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much for that proclamation, and thank you for making this Red Cross Month in Dallas, Mayor. I very much appreciate it. Members of City Council, thank you for your partnership. My name is T.D. Smyers. I'm privileged to be the Chief Executive Officer of the American Red Cross North Texas Region. And preparedness, it's just not sexy, but it's essential, and it's something that we have to be ready to do. So we've assisted you this morning with a little gift. In front of each of you, you'll find a preparedness kit, personal preparedness kit. That is yours. So please take it home and put it to good use and become a partner of the Red Cross in preparing your own home and family. There's one other thing I'd like to draw your attention to. This is not only Red Cross Month, but we're right in the middle of National Severe Weather Awareness Week. I think they planned that on purpose, don't you? The Red Cross has just released on Monday a new app. Now, most apps are pretty good for a couple of things, keeping up with your friends and wasting your time. However, this app could save your life. It's called Tornado. It's available. It's one of five that are available on the American Red Cross website. And what this thing will do is, if you are asleep and there's a tornado warning that comes in your area or any area you program in here, say you're concerned about someone who lives in Kansas, you can program them in here, you will hear the tornado siren, which I'm going to play for you. By your bedside. Turn the volume, but it gets pretty obnoxious. It'll wake you up. A lot of people die in tornadoes because they're not aware of the tornado coming in. So even if the app is not open, it'll play that sound. So I encourage you to download it. It's free. And I encourage you to join us in preparedness. Mayor, I'm proud to lead this great organization. I was wandering the world with the U.S. Navy for 31 years, and I've come back to the city of my birth. I'm happy to be back in Dallas, and I encourage all of you to jump on that website, check it out, and join us in being prepared for anything that hits. We have trucks and people that roll across North Texas 5 to 7 times a day to help our neighbors every day. And yesterday was an especially busy one. We had 2 multifamily fires right here in Dallas, so lots of things going on. But thanks for your partnership. Thank you very much for this proclamation. I appreciate the opportunity to be here today.
Thank you very much. So I see the truck.
Well, we'll be there quick if you need.
Absolutely. Thank you very much. Mayor, thank you very much for allowing me this time, and thank you for our partners at Red Cross. Always there when we need them. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano, and thank you to all the volunteers of the Red Cross. So many people give their time to this great organization, so I appreciate that. Well, thank you, and we will now move to our open microphone speakers for the morning.
Thank you. Good morning. You have 2 speakers this morning, Sandra Breedlove and Carol Bell Walton. I will first recite the speaker guidelines. Citizens and other visitors attending the meeting of the City Council shall observe the same rules of propriety, decorum, and good conduct applicable to members of the City Council. Any persons making personal, impertinent, profane, or slanderous remarks, or who become boisterous while addressing the City Council or while attending the City Council meeting, shall be removed from the room if the Sergeant-at-Arms is so directed by the presiding officer. And that person shall be barred for further audience before the City Council during that session of the City Council. Individuals are allowed 3 minutes to speak. You'll notice the timer on both walls. When the timer turns to 0, please allow the next individual their turn. Please state your name and address for the record and address your comments to Mayor Rawlings. Again, your first speaker is Sandra Breedlove.
Good morning. Thank you for allowing me to come in. My name is Sandra Breedlove, and I reside at 7707 Briar Ridge Road, Dallas, which is in the Spring Creek neighborhood. I'm here today to voice my disappointment to know that the owner of the Spanish Village Shopping Center is now in talks with Walmart to convert this retail space into a site for a 90,000 square foot store. Spanish Village is a commercial retail site near my home at the northwest corner of Coit and Arapahoe. This retail space has been mostly vacant for the 27 years I've lived in the area. The current L-shaped site shows space for multiple tenants with probably 30 to 35 different suites or spaces. The largest tenant currently there is Durango Furniture, which we view as a good tenant and a destination-type shopping attraction. Durango confirmed with me they are moving out by June 1st to make room for the renovation of the entire shopping center to accommodate a Walmart grocery and retail store. We understand that the structure will be modified to accommodate the 90,000 square foot Walmart store. We also hear that an apartment complex just behind the site would also be raised to make room for the store. This property is at the northeastmost corner of District 12, currently, soon to be District 11, and Sandy Grayson is our city councilman. Some of our neighbors did contact her office, and even she did not know that there was a possibility of that moving to a 90,000 square foot store being considered for that site. And we are disappointed to know that our city's zoning laws would allow a site to be transitioned from a 30 to 35 multi-tenant property to a big box type retail site with little or no notice to the neighbors. And from our understanding, the city zoning laws allow a store up to 100,000 square feet to be built with no change in zoning. This 90,000 square foot store keeps them in compliance with the current zoning laws. In addition to being a neighborhood resident, I'm also a residential realtor with over 27 years experience, and it does disappoint me to find such a lack of quality retail sites near my home that I find myself going outside my community to shop and dine. We have an abundance of check cashing stores, hookah lounges, and old rundown apartments. We would love to see a more active role from our city leaders to work to attract quality retail to our community. We hear of money available for bridges and economic development in other parts of our city. And the perception seems to be that those of us in far north Dallas live in an area of shiny and new and glitz and glamour, which is far from reality. Most homes and retail in our area are over 50 years old. Coit divides us between far north Dallas and the city of Richardson. We see progress being made on their side of Coit to bring incentives to the area to redevelop and re-energize the community, especially in the Coit-Spring Valley corridor. We would like to see more effort from the city of Dallas to put more of our tax dollars back into our community. Starting to see what many of our...
We're going to give you some more time. There was a motion to extend, but your time is up. But go ahead.
Thank you.
No, go ahead.
Oh,
go ahead.
Okay. As a realtor, I hear a lot of comments from my clients that they would like the far north, they like to go to the northern suburbs. They think the quality of retail and shopping is much higher, so I can see their point. So we're just asking the City of Dallas leaders to help us preserve the quality of our communities by working to help bring vibrant and quality retail to our neighborhoods and to consider a change to the zoning laws to help maintain the quality of our neighborhoods. Thank you.
Thank you. And Teresa O'Donnell is here. If you have any questions you want to ask privately, she'll come over and ask those to clarify. Okay?
And I want to say something.
Ms. Coop?
And Ms. Breedlove, I want to say something, too. I agree with you about quality retail, even though it's not in my district. The area of Spring Valley and Coit, then going all the way up Coit, is exactly what you're saying. The city of Richardson, and we have a little group called the Coit Corner Club, and it's city of Richardson council member and a couple of RISD trustees and myself that meet to try to figure out, you know, how we can improve that area. And one thing I've learned over the last several years is the reason that they are able to improve that area, and I've talked to the mayor about this, is because they do provide incentives to tear down apartment complexes and put up other, other retail and commercial endeavors, which we do all over the southern sector, but we just do not consider that in the northern sector. I have been unable to convince, I guess, the staff and everyone else that that is something that will not happen until we provide that. I'm working on a small plan, hopefully with mayor's help, before I leave council, that may help somewhat in the Spring Valley and Coit area. But honestly, it is a problem, and I'm glad that you brought it to the rest of the council's attention. This is an area that has, but for the fact that all those apartments are over on Spring Valley and Coit, and but for the fact of that, that area would not be in that kind of condition on the Dallas side. And you're correct, because I don't live far from there either. People in Dallas are taking their tax dollars and buying and purchasing in Plano because there is no place to shop that they feel, you know, that they want to spend their dollars. And it's just really reality there. So I appreciate you bringing this to our attention. I'll pass it on to whomever the next council member may be from District 11, which then will include your I looked it up on my iPad just a second ago, but will then include your house, but not currently today.
Right.
But it really is an issue, Mayor, and I know that Mr. Allen has the exact same issue in his area of Lake Highlands as well, and I'm just glad that you brought it to the council's attention.
Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Thank you. And I remind you that in that small area of Spring Valley and Coit, there is one junior high, there's an entire elementary school, about 500 to 600 students, a pre-K and kindergartners, that's all that's in that school. There is, within walking distance, within a half a mile, within a quarter of a mile, there's that school. There's a school of about 700 or 800 first through third graders, and then the same amount sixth graders. So we're looking at about 2,000 children. They're not even in junior high within that one small area. It is an issue, Mayor. I keep bringing it up. And Ryan's, I don't know if Ryan's here today. I talked to him about that. It's our to-do list for the next council. It is an issue. Thank you for bringing that to our attention.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. And I will ask Deputy Mayor Pro Tem Atkins, who's the chairman of the Economic Development Committee, to tee that up as an issue, and maybe bring some answers to the council.
Okay, we'll definitely do it. Okay,
thank you.
Your next speaker is Carol Bell Walton.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I'd like to ask this morning that you would extend my thanks to Councilpersons Hunt and Grayson, as they're not here, and Councilperson Griggs for their strong stand last week on the gas lease issues. I do believe that there's a process of City Hall approving land that ought to be upheld, and I do believe that this was poorly handled, to say the least. I think that we're going down that path, so I wanted to talk to you a little bit about my experience with oil and gas. My sister lives in Oklahoma, and Oklahoma has a little bit different oil and gas laws. She has a wellhead in her front yard, what we call a Christmas tree, for a gas well. In Oklahoma, there is some truth that's required for drilling, and so everywhere they have a gas well or a gas well predominantly, they put these signs that say poison gas, danger, H2S. So that people know that those wells are definitely poison. Now, I think we can all agree that H2S is a poison gas, and I think that we all can agree that gas wells produce gas and produce byproducts that are dangerous. I'd ask you to please consider putting these signs around the L.D. Bell golf course and community so that people will know truly that there is poison gas there. There is no reason that anyone should be kept in the dark about this, because we all know that poison is poison. I'd like to also talk to you about the compressor stations and the processing of gas. When you negotiate an oil and gas lease, unless you've done a terribly poor job, Generally, only the equipment that is required to produce that well is allowed on that lease. You don't have to allow a compressor station. You don't have to allow a processing plant. That is a separate agreement. In every oil and gas deal that I have ever done, a surface use agreement is required for a compressor station. It is required for a processing plant. You don't negotiate an oil and gas lease and give away your surface. It's just not done. So you have the ability here to go forward with drilling a couple of wells, but get them to pipe that gas out. We don't need that poison produced. They can take it by pipeline out of the city, and we don't need that 22-acre compressor station. We haven't recovered from the lead poisoning in West Dallas. Those kids out there still play on soil that is poisoned by lead. Let's please, please, please not poison their air. Those babies in West Dallas don't deserve that. Put that well in my neighborhood where it's a fair fight and we can see whether it would be allowed in East Dallas, whether it would be allowed in Preston Hollow. But we all know that it's going to be allowed in West Dallas. So please, Mr. Mayor, let's try to keep it as safe for the people who are in West Dallas as it possibly can be.
Thank you, Ms. Bell-Walton. Appreciate it. Thank you for your time.
That concludes your speakers this morning. Your first item on the agenda is approval of minutes of the February 20th, 2013 City Council meeting.
The motion is second. Any other discussion or edits? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number two is consideration of appointments to boards and commissions. You have one nominee for consideration to the Reinvestment Zone 6 Board Farmers Market, James R. Inkendorf, Jr., to fill the registered voter category as nominated by Councilmember Cadane.
Second. The motion is second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Item number three is authorized number one, a list of candidate projects submitted to the Texas Department of Transportation for the 2012 Texas Transportation Enhancement Program call for projects, and number two, acceptance and implementation of the projects selected for the Transportation Enhancement Program.
Do we have a motion?
No.
A second. Any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion is carried.
Your briefings continue, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. I would like to begin with our solo briefing today, an important one, about our downtown parks master plan update. Mr. Winters, would you please give us, and I'd like to, before you start, recognize Robert Deckard. I think Robert's here. Robert has helped privately fund a lot of this work and has been a leader in this effort. Parks are in his blood, and he's given that gift to Dallas. So thank you very much, Mr. Deckard. He spoke to the City Council at our retreat recently, and that was helpful as well. So, Willis, take us through it.
Good morning, Mayor and Council members. Since 2004, the city has invested in and built a new fabric of public green spaces in its central core to a degree that few other cities in America have achieved. As a result of the original Downtown Park Master Plan, $43 million for downtown parks was included in the 2006 bond program. This amount leveraged an additional $96.5 million from other sources. The results have been dramatic, with the completion of three significant park projects since 2009, including Main Street Garden, Belo Garden, and Clyde Warren Park, both of which were completed last year. This update that we're going to show to you today was funded through the generosity of the Deckard Foundation and Robert and Maureen Deckard. It provides us with another 10-year look at what reasonably could be accomplished by the city as it continues to invest in its central core. Why is this important? Downtown is the largest employment center in North Texas and the premier destination to live, work, and play. There's a new heartbeat in the center of our city, a new generation of employees, residents, and visitors who are coming, who are changing the environment. There's also tremendous new economic impact of new parks downtown on the redevelopment of the center city. All we have to do is look at the projects that are surrounding Main Street Garden and Clyde Warren Park to understand the importance of parks. So today we'd like to review with you the priority park developments for the next 10 years. I'd like to introduce a lady who's going to give this briefing to you and go through the master plan. Mary Margaret Jones is a landscape architect and planner. She's a principal with the firm of Hargraves Associates. Hargraves worked on the original downtown park master plan in 2004. They also were the prime consultant on the Fair Park Comprehensive Development Plan. They were the design firm for Belo Garden. And a few other projects that the firm has accomplished over the years include the Sydney Olympic Games in 2000 and the London Olympics in 2012. Recently, Mary Margaret has just been elected the chair of the Board of Trustees of the American Academy in Rome. So I'll ask Mary Margaret to come forward and present this update to you.
Thank you, Ellis. Thank you, Willis. Thank you, Mayor and Council members. I'm very happy to be here. As Willis said, it really is an amazing thing that you guys have done, the city has done already, and this continues that, we hope, that trajectory forward. Other cities are paying attention and are pretty amazed at what Dallas is doing. So starting with this slide, and I know you can't see it in a great bit of detail, but so I want to call your attention to one thing. These are current and planned land uses. So this includes some planned projects. What's key on this slide is the amount of yellow in the center of the city, and I'll point right here. A lot of residential projects happening and planned. So since 2004, the number of residents moving into downtown has really increased. And to make downtown a place where living, working, and playing can happen is really the goal of why we're all here. We have to pay attention to land that you own as we do this study, because it's important for us to identify opportunities on land you own and opportunities for purchase. This is from the 2004 master plan, and there's just a couple of things I want to highlight on this plan. A lot of it you've done, but a couple of things have changed. This site right here that we called Gateway Park, the really big site at the corner of Central Expressway and Woodall Rogers, is an area that we had identified as a big sort of foreground green park to downtown. It's now mostly slated for development. So that's a change that we're going to address today. The other thing I want to point out here is we were looking in 2004 for sites for parks within the Farmers Market District, and we refined that and revised that somewhat, which I'll present today. Now, the good side of since 2004 is we have realized you have realized these amazing projects, Belo Garden, and its beautiful sort of respite within the city, heavily used. Main Street Garden, also very heavily used, very programmed, needs, in my mind, more parks to support the kind of use it's getting, so that they're not all trying to do, all events aren't trying to happen in Main Street Garden. And luckily, you have recently completed Clyde Warren Park, which does help relieve some of that pressure. So you have these three great parks in downtown Dallas that people are using and loving every day. So here's where we are today. This is a current marking of all the open spaces and green spaces and parks and plazas that you have today within the loop. So for the purposes of this study, we're defining downtown as being within the freeway loop. This is about 52 acres. About 52 acres. Today, we're proposing to you these additional parks, plazas, green spaces, which could get you up to over 80 acres. And we're going to talk about why we think that's important now. You need pedestrian and bicycle routes serving all these. You are looking at those. These are planned pedestrian and bicycle routes, very important to the livability and walkability of downtown. I'm always reminded it's not just about the parks, it's about the streets, and it's about walkability in a downtown. So here we go. Here's a series of bar charts that compare Dallas to your peer cities. This may not be all your peer cities, but we found this to be a good sampling of your peer cities. This is a bar chart that shows your park acres per 1,000 residents living downtown. And again, for Dallas, we're defining downtown as within the freeway loop. So you see Dallas, a solid green bar that puts you sort of in the lower part of this chart. But then you see the hatched part of that bar. If you build all these parks that we're recommending, you really start to rank high amongst your peers in this category. So this is park acres per 1,000 residents. This is park acres, period, in your downtown. And you can see that Dallas is pretty low. It really puts a significant pressure on you, I think, to increase the amount of green space downtown. This is the number of residents. So again, Dallas is fairly low, which explains why maybe you have fewer parks. But I want to point out that this is a number that is changing rapidly as you build more and more residential projects downtown. And this is a bar that is going up in every one of these cities. All of these cities are building more residential projects downtown. And then finally, the percentage of park acres to land area of downtown. And you'll see why in a minute this changes things. Some cities have very large downtowns and some cities have very small. Dallas's downtown, as defined within the loop, is actually pretty small. So you rank higher there, and this slide shows that. It shows the yellow is your downtown core within your much larger city. So now I want to focus the rest of this presentation on what we think are the four priority projects you now face. Two of these projects are carryovers from 2004, but have more detail to them. And two of these projects are new ideas, new thinking. So I'm going to start with these two. These two parks are Carpenter Plaza and Pacific Plaza. This is the way both those parks exist today. So Carpenter Plaza currently is bisected into a number of pieces by the road network, and then the freeway, of course, goes overhead. And currently, Live Oak Street separates Aston Park from Pacific Plaza. There's also in Carpenter Plaza some hills. There's a couple of hills. And then cutting through those hills is a sculpture by the artist Robert Irwin, the Corten Steel Wall. So it has a wall and has hills and it's broken into pieces. This is the future, both proposed by transportation authorities and proposed by us in terms of the road network and the impact of these two park sites. So this is the condition in Carpenter Plaza that will be built. So roads will not cut it up into pieces any longer. It will be a cohesive whole of over 8 acres. And so this can become your gateway park. So whereas in 2004 we had all that land as the gateway park, this can now become the gateway park. And in Pacific Plaza, we are recommending that Live Oak Street turn and head into downtown on Harwood and be closed between Harwood and St. Paul, so that Aston Park and Pacific Plaza can become one contiguous open space. Aston Park needs some love. It needs some help. It's kind of a dark, foreboding place. To think of this as a park all is one makes a lot of sense, and addressing all the doorways that surround it. Both these parks are well served, particularly Pacific Plaza, by rail, by the light rail, which is a great thing. So we see Pacific Street as becoming a really important linkage between these two parks, to almost think of them as one, and to think of Pacific as having a real strong streetscape presence. And future development on the DART site needs to respond to that and have a mid-block crossing to Carpenter Plaza and be very much a part of this resurgence of this area of the city. That DART transfer station is not very highly used, and we think it will be in the future developed by DART to higher and better use. So for Carpenter Plaza, you see this kind of idea. You see a landscape that has the hills removed, has the artwork removed, and we've talked to the artist Robert Irwin. We have worked with him in the past, and in his mind that piece of art was a response to the freeway condition. It was a site-specific piece, and with the change to the conditions of the site, to him it no longer has meaning there and should come down. So we can create a park that is much more accessible, more visually accessible, more usable, recreation under the freeway, which is being done in many cities to great success. So a much more usable beautiful active space and a connector really to the Bryan Place neighborhood to the east, to downtown. A really important connection and asset for that community. So you see here some pictures of strolling gardens, play areas, and recreation under freeway from other cities that could certainly be imagined here. So you see a view like this looking down, looking at an aerial perspective of Carpenter Plaza. And at eye level from that intersection at Pacific and Pearl, you see this sort of welcoming park. Of course, the statue of Carpenter, Mr. Carpenter, would still be a part of this and could be easily accommodated and made much more a part of the story of the park. And then a view from the other corner where you see the recreation under the freeway and the connection to the adjacent neighborhood that becomes possible. So moving to Pacific Plaza, over 3 acres, and it could be expanded to be that size by including Aston Park, creating this overall plaza that addresses many doors around it, creates amenity, gardens, grass, a fountain, places to play, places of respite from the city environment, and a real beacon as you enter downtown, a real gateway experience. So you see this corner at St. Paul and Pacific, and you see this fountain sort of pulling you in. And these are not designs so much as indicators of possibilities as you go into your next phase on these. Now, we did look at parking on Pacific Plaza above grade in a structure. In order to build such a structure and get the kind of numbers you need in this part of downtown, it would take up more than half the site, and it just did not make sense. But parking below the site can make sense, and you get over 840 cars in just 3 levels below grade. So that could definitely be done. We think this is one of the most critical assets you have in downtown. So West End Plaza, as with Pacific Plaza, we did identify West End Plaza as an opportune site in 2004, but we've worked on that some more, and we think that there is an opportunity to create a kind of European-like plaza where it's a grove of trees, it's in paving, you can use it in a million different ways, a shade structure within that, light, and a festival space. It really becomes a kind of festival space. We think the south facade of the Spaghetti Warehouse building needs help, either doorways or an art wall or a green wall to activate that space. And at times, Corbin Street could be made part of this plaza. So you see in these studies how you could set it up for events, you could set it up for festivals, you could set it up with tables and chairs, you could set it up for bocce and petanque and any number of uses as well. Oh, so now I'm going to move to the Farmers Market District. This was a challenge. This has always been a challenge, and we think we have finally solved this and come up with a great idea for a network of parks in this area. First of all, Marilla Street, we think, is a major connector from City Hall, the Omni, the Convention Center downtown, City Hall, all the way to to east of Central, to the neighborhoods east of Central Expressway. And we think that Marilla should be a very strong urban connection with a bow tie park on both sides of it. You see they're labeled as bow tie park. And also ball fields, tucked up next to the freeway. This is partly on land that the city already owns. And this is a great location for recreation that's so much needed as so much residential is being built in this area. But I want to focus now on Harwood Park. This is a new idea, and currently there's a road that bisects this site, but again, we think this is a road that could easily be removed without disruption to satisfactory traffic, and it creates an over 3 acre site that you see how close it is to Main Street Garden, what a great linkage that could be, and release valve, if you will, for Main Street Garden. And it would clear a site and make a site for public occupation that would reveal beautiful buildings around it and views to downtown. There are so many people starting to live in this area, they need this. The building that's on that site that we indicate keeping here is the Ballet Building, which could be a great place for cafe. We think that the uses on this site could include community gardens as well as plazas and shade and a hill, and create a place that is about the farmers market district. Food being grown here may be served then in the cafe. So it could have a kind of character that's different from the other downtown parks and one that's specific to the farmers market district. So that concludes our update, and I think Willis wants to say a few closing remarks.
Thank you, Mary Margaret. Currently, Dallas ranks, I want to reiterate a few of the points she made, especially on those charts that we saw. Currently, Dallas ranks 5th out of the 9 comparison or benchmark cities, or sister cities, in park acres per 1,000 residents. As our downtown population continues to grow, it's important that we invest in downtown parks to serve those future residents. Downtown park acreage as a percent of total land area is 5.2%. As a comparison, citywide park acres as a percent of city total area is 13.4%. So our downtown parks are under the citywide total. Also, park acres per 1,000 residents downtown is 8.0 acres versus 22.6 acres citywide. Currently, the total park acreage downtown is 52 acres, as Mary Margaret mentioned. Dallas ranks 8th out of the 9 comparison cities in this category. So the 4 priority projects in closing are the ones that are on the screen now behind me over the next 10 years. These include Carpenter Plaza, and just as an update, the city owns the land for Carpenter, so there's no expenditure there. However, that we have no money to develop it as a new park site. Pacific Plaza, the city owns the land. We bought that with money from prior bond programs, but we do not have any dollars to develop it as a park. The West End Plaza is currently being negotiated for acquisition with money from the 2006 bond program, but we have no money for development of that park. And then finally, the 4th major park priority is the Farmers Market Park. Again, we have no money for land acquisition or for development. Probably the highest priority out of this master plan update would be the land acquisition for Farmers Market, which we estimate at approximately $13 million. It's important that we, the city, tie up this land before land costs continue to escalate in the coming years. There's no question that downtown Dallas is celebrating the realization of urban life, and the development of a downtown park system has played and will continue to play a vital role in its success. Be glad to answer any questions you might have.
Thank you, Ms. Fairway.
Thank you, Mayor.
I read that. Ms. Cook, I think, signed up first. Excuse me.
Okay, well, all right. Go ahead, Ms. Cook.
Thank you. Thank you. Just a couple of comments, Willis. Well, first of all, I thank Mr. Deckard earlier today, because I know this is a passion of his, the park system, and he has been at it a long, long time. And the fruits of your labor are coming to fruition, that's for sure, just by sticking with all these different kinds of park concepts. I can remember a String of Pearls concept and so on and so forth. It really has turned out nicely, and we were commenting about it. It's just a terrific, terrific new renaissance of downtown. A couple of things. One, the Carpenter Park, thank you for contacting the artist on that. The Corten Wall is a barrier. It frightens people, I think. They don't know exactly what's on the other side of the wall when they're on one side of the wall. It is a barrier, and so that's going to make a huge difference. That is a wonderful gesture of the artist. On the west, I do want to talk just a little bit about the West End. I know you've got a plaza there, but I want to talk a little bit about the West End Transfer Station, which is not listed in here. One of these days, Mayor, hopefully, and it might be, 10 years from now, we'll have kind of a different set of transit options in downtown. There might be high-speed rail. There may be all sorts of things. And at that time, council members that are left here on the council, you may see an opportunity to move that transfer station over to Union Station. which is something that has been thought about for quite some time, given the right set of circumstances. If that happens, it would be a wonderful idea to put open space there and open that area up. You see with Belo Gardens, you see with Main Street Gardens, when you open up an area, it opens up, and I like what the architect said, it opens up the area to view the buildings, the beautiful buildings that are downtown. When you don't have that open area to be able to do that, it becomes just a monolith of building structures, and it's difficult to really start to relax in an urban setting. So I applaud you. I think this is a terrific, terrific new plan. I do agree that the farmers market should be first step. That's going to be a remarkable renaissance of that area. Just all sorts of cool things could happen there, just like you're saying, a community garden. So I appreciate that. And those are just my comments. I really didn't have a question for you, Willis, but I just am excited. This is a kind of a renaissance once again of our park system downtown. It continues. I guess I'll have to think of a new word besides renaissance, a continuing renaissance. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano.
Thank you very much. Mayor Margaret, thank you for the presentation. Mr. Decker, thank you very much for being here and giving us the presentation at the retreat as well. Willis, it was a great presentation. I had the opportunity to have an interview with Channel 8 on Sunday at Belo Gardens regarding the presentation today. And a couple of things that I said was I think that people will walk about four blocks almost anywhere. And this really puts four more parks in the downtown area to connect with other venues that we have or other parks that we have downtown. I do believe that people are attracted to green space, they're attracted to water, and I think they're attracted to light. I think that with the 130,000 plus people that we have employed in and around downtown, nearing the 10,000 residents that we have downtown now, with the strong ties of these parks to transit, I think is a definite plus. More and more people that are living downtown, you've got friends living everywhere else, but I think it encourages people to take the transit and come and play ball or come and enjoy the park with their friends living downtown. I remember when Belo Gardens was a thought, and we were like, really, it's going to happen? And you know, years pass by, and all of a sudden, you think about it. It was a parking lot, you know, a few years ago, and now you see people having lunch there, interacting with a water fountain there. Sunday, there was four people sitting on the tall berm there, taking pictures. So and then there was just so many cheerleaders from the convention center going back and forth, and I guess maybe they weren't going all the way to their hotel rooms, but they were just sitting around at Belo Garden. So it's a place to gather, maybe a little break away from the convention center, and you know, they walk the two blocks and enjoying the park there, and then they were going back to competition. So I think it's a great, just a great plan for the next 10 years. And I think what we've done well in our parks now with different partnerships, the reporter goes, well, how do you pay for it? And I go, well, I think that the city and Dallas is so generous. There's so many people that are very generous. And if they see these presentations, we're helping with the vision, and you never know where those private partnerships will come in with public to see these parks come to fruition. Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now, Mr. Carraway.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor. First of all, what is the population of downtown? Where are we now today?
Current population is approximately 8,000, plus or minus.
Okay, 8,000. Okay, and how many parks do we have total downtown?
Individual parks spaces, it would include this very small triangular parcels, median parcels, I don't know the exact number, probably 20 or maybe 25 individual pieces, separate pieces.
And how many do we have within the city?
375.
375, okay. All right, let me first say to Ms. Decker, thank you, Ms. Decker. And I, like Ms. Medrano, in seeing the cheerleaders and all the conventions and everybody enjoying our downtown parks, and especially Belo, they were walking through there, and it has become a little popular spot to sit, and hopefully folks are sitting on that berm proposing and everything else. And I think those things are well needed downtown. I would want to say, however, I do have a concern. And one, I would hope that these new parks that we're talking about come with the same dedication and leadership as Mr. Deckard had. And he put his own into it to develop these parks, and not just us developing parks for the sake of developing the parks, but have somebody participating with us as we talk about the new development, and not just land it on the taxpayers and say, okay, we got another park. I have a concern about two parks that are not mentioned on here. And I heard, Mary, you mentioned Inside the Loop. And I think that parks that may be just on the other side of the loop ought to be included. One, Griggs Park. I'm not hearing anything about Griggs Park because it's outside of the loop. But it's right at the foot, under the bridge of the loop. And I would like to make sure that we figure out how we can include that. That's a part of downtown. I don't think that we want to disconnect. So I don't like just the inside the loop only when you have two little pimples out there. One, Griggs Park, that's right at the base of the loop, but on the other side of the freeway, but you can walk under the freeway to get to Griggs Park, but Griggs Park is not a part of the loop. But it, you know, but still, folks are still considered being downtown. So I'm not happy about that one. Also, Mayor, while we are talking about it, when we look at Farmers Market, granted we're talking about Harwood Park, we don't have the money for it, but you know, it's not as much activity on that side of the freeway, the south side of downtown. I would like to get that other pimple in there, and that's Old City Park. Old City Park is something that ought to be included because, number one, there are so many different things that you can do in Old City Park that you can't do at the other parks. You're not throwing the frisbees and things at Old City Park, I wouldn't imagine, but there's so much history in Old City Park, and again, it's just across the freeway from Farmers Market. Those are only two parks that I think that ought to be included in this master plan as we look and move forward. That's just my one opinion. Yeah. It's one I'm going to be very strong on because, again, Old City Park has a lot to deliver to the downtown historical factor and park atmosphere. It's something that we should not exclude. And also Griggs Park. I also don't want us to, in the future, I'd like to hear what our plans are for master plans for the additional parks across the city in everyone's district. We just can't realize, not realize the fact we got 1.2 million people here, and yes, we're building up downtown, but parks are not going to be the only thing that we're going to build up. We're going to take care of the parks we already have, Belo and Clyde Warren and all the other parks that we have. But then, you know, we can't build the city around the 8,000 that are there when we still have 1.2 million out in our surrounding areas. Because when we get to talking about swimming pools again, I want to hear about the aquatics. I'd like to give Mayor an update as to where we are with the aquatics and at some point, and so that we can know what's going on. So when we're talking about this, well, we can also talk about and get updated on the other things that are taking place and which may help me better understand the overall plan that we have that's coming so that folks you know, in other areas feel like their parks are exciting and all those things. So I do want to just say I want to hear about the aquatics. I do want to hear more about the overall master plan. And then the last thing I want to find out is that since you're talking about farmers market, last week we were briefed on farmers market, and I'm extremely excited about farmers market. But some of the same things you're talking about are some of the same things that they said, and I don't want our deal to go with the developer's deal, you know, in conjunction of what he promised us, and now here comes another promise. So whose pocket is it coming out of? If the developer is promising parks and all these things at farmers market, is that a part of what we're talking about here? Or is that going to be two things separate? Ryan, I hate to do that. But
that's okay, Mr. Carraway. The futsal fields, which are on the south side of farmers market, the developer is responsible for buying and building the futsal fields. The other farmers market park, which is really, I was calling the Harwood Park, is not part of the responsibility of the developer. It's just part of the master plan for that quadrant of downtown.
For that quadrant, okay. And I'm fine with that, but I just want to make sure so that when as we move forward. Lastly, Ms. Coop, you talked about the transfer station. And last night I was downtown as well, and I was crossing the transfer station. And all of these great things, Mr. Decker and everybody, that we're doing downtown, we do, Mayor, need to reconsider and figure out that transfer station. It's not very seldom, it's not very often that I'm riding and I have to kind of make sure that I'm taking a look and seeing what's going on. It is something that we must take a look at. I agree with you, Ms. Coop, that we need to really begin to consider transferring that transfer station to another remote location. Where it would be, I don't know. But with all these things that we're doing downtown, it does not offer the flavor of safety. Pretty much, and I'm just trying to say it because I mean, when I tell you there's a lot of hanging and activity that's going on there, then everything that we're doing downtown could be all for naught if we don't figure out how to do exactly what you suggested that we need to do, and I concur with that. So, thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Davis.
Thank you so much. I have a couple of questions. Mr. Winter, you keep talking about the 2006 bond package. Is this money that's for these projects, or is this additional money that's left over out of everybody's district? Explain that to me.
Yes, ma'am. The 2006 bond program included a specific allocation in the amount of $43 million for downtown parks.
Okay.
So out of the overall park proposition of $341 million, we had allocations for each council district and then a specific allocation for downtown.
Okay.
So that money, for example, out of the 43, almost half of it was the city's leverage of $20 million that went towards Woodall Rogers Park, which leveraged about $90 million from the private and other non-city funding sources. Some went to allowed us to acquire the land at Pacific Plaza to build the park at Main Street Garden and to build the park at Belo Garden. Is a match, the private match to Belo Corporation, $6.5 million.
Okay, so some of that money went to build the park that we see today.
Yes, ma'am. So we did not bring in any district contingency, in other words, for these parks.
Okay, and we have money left. Do we still have money left over to help with some of what we see today? Or what do you have up here?
The only amount that we have left that's unspent is the amount for land acquisition for the West End Plaza. That was another separate allocation. Actually, it was in the economic development proposition to buy the land, and that's the only money really that we have not spent out of the 06 bond program.
How much is that?
4.3 plus or minus.
Okay, 4.3, give or take.
Yes, ma'am.
Now, the proposition that is being proposed to us today, Mr. Decker would have to go raise additional money, or will we...
we'd love to sign him up for that right now. But we're not necessarily proposing. There's, as you know, the 2012 bond program did not include a park proposition, so there's no money for any of what we're showing you today.
Okay.
These four sites here, this is probably, the total cost is probably $80 to $100 million.
Oh, well, he's not going to raise that much money.
I think our message today, Ms. Davis, mm-hmm. is that out of that, I mean, obviously it's got to come, as Mr. Caraway said, through public-private partnerships. That's the only way we'll get there. But out of that amount, the most important priority is perhaps the $13 million that would be required to buy the farmer's market. Proposed farmers market park.
What I'm trying to get an understanding of, and I wasn't saying that to be funny or anything. I'm trying to get an understanding is what you showed us of the different locations.
Yes, ma'am.
Of city property. Do the city own all four of those pieces of?
Yeah, let me go through that. I think that's a very important point. So Carpenter Plaza in the upper left corner, the city owns all the property there.
Okay.
Pacific Plaza, upper right, the city owns all the property. West End Plaza, lower left, the city has funding to buy that site.
Okay.
And the only hole in this is the Farmers Market Park, or Harwood Park, as we call it, the main one, the main proposal for the farm as a gateway to the Farmers Market. That's the only, the main site that we do not currently own.
Now, if we were to find a partner to partner with us with some dollars, then what interest would he or she have at this point if they wanted to come in and partner with us?
I think that's a key question. We'd have to find someone that, of civic interest, like Mr. Deckard, and his interest in Belo Garden. We'd have to find somebody, whether it's someone connected with the farmers market redevelopment, mm-hmm. or a surrounding property owner, perhaps,
mm-hmm.
who has a site that might overlook the park or mm-hmm. benefit directly from the development of park. Those are the potential partners. The other item would be a possible naming rights, selling the naming rights for the park, as we did with Clyde Warren Park and with Belo Garden Park.
And I didn't see that in here, but is that what you're going to be looking
that
at?
That is certainly a tool we can use to raise money for these parks, is by selling the naming rights.
Okay. And if you were to, would that be a marketing campaign to do that, or would just be?
What we've done in the past, for example, on Clyde Warren Park, we had a development agreement with the Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, as you know. We gave them the right to sell the naming rights and the sponsorship rights. So the foundation went out and sold those, brought the money in. For example, the naming rights for Clyde Warren Park was $10 million.
Okay.
That money just flowed into our construction account.
Okay, that's good. I'm glad that you're giving me some understanding on the 2006 bond or any bond. This money that you guys had left over from downtown parks, that money went into those parks. You got about 4.3, give or take.
Yes, ma'am.
That's left over.
Yes.
Now, will that 4.3 be used for the West End, or you still kind of just holding
on? So that money will be specifically used to acquire the land for the West End Park.
Okay. Then I have one other question, Mr. Mayor, and I'll be finished. On the neighborhood parks, I would like to see some type of briefing on all our parks, especially all our neighborhood parks, the condition of them, what it would take to enhance some of these neighborhood parks, and we might change them to pocket parks. We might change the name of them to pocket parks instead of calling them neighborhood parks. And if we were to change the name to pocket parks, how could a small pocket park look in neighborhoods?
I think this is a really good question. I think Ms. Davis, you and Mr. Caraway have pointed out the need that it's time for the Park Department to update our Renaissance plan
mm-hmm.
from 2002. Thanks to the support of the City Council and two successive bond programs, we mm-hmm. have more money than we've ever gotten in the city's history, and that money leveraged private sector money. But now that master plan is 11 or almost 12 years old, and it's time for us to update it. And that would address the issue of defining what we call typologies for our parks, whether it's the name Pocket Park is appropriate or Neighborhood Park. We'd like to look at all of that again and come up with recommendations on what we need to do citywide in each council district to bring our parks up to a certain standard and make sure they're serving the community. Now, we've invested almost $850 million in our city's park infrastructure since 2003, and I think our park system is in fairly good condition.
Okay.
But there's still things that need to be done, and you know what they are in your
mm-hmm.
district,
mm-hmm.
and we need to work on that.
And then the other thing, and I'll give up the mic, is that if we were to do another upcoming bond, I'm hoping that you guys are in it with an amount that can cover all the things that we're talking about and then perhaps take it to the voters.
And that would be another main product of an update to our long-range strategic plan, a Renaissance plan. We've updated our needs inventory,
mm-hmm.
but an update to our Renaissance plan would prioritize and identify possible park projects for a future bond program.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Ms. Davis. Ms. Hasso.
Thank you, Mayor, and thank you, Willis and Mary Margaret, for a great presentation. my question is more on and it kind of has to do with the neighborhood parks, but Mary Margaret, what is the philosophy between a plaza and a park in a park area? You know, plazas in neighborhoods are not quite as effective as plazas downtown where you have more walking and more and less streets. So plazas, as we look at updating the Renaissance plan, as we look at the next bond program, both of those go hand in hand, and I will say I was a part of the 2002 Renaissance plan. I can't believe it's been that long, 11 years. But what's the philosophy as we look at neighborhood parks on plazas as opposed to parks? Plazas don't seem to be being utilized as much in neighborhoods.
Well, I think that's probably true. I think neighborhoods have more recreation need. Kids playing on the grass needs. Walking your dog needs. So I think neighborhood parks are different than downtown parks. But the words tend to be used sort of interchangeably. I've worked on projects that are called plaza, but they're mostly green. I've worked on projects that are called park, but they're mostly hard. And then I've worked on projects that are called plaza parks. So you just think about the root of the word plaza, it means place. And I think that's what's important, is we need these places. We need these places of common ground. And sometimes they're softer, and sometimes they're harder, and sometimes they're a balance. You just have to find the right balance.
Okay, well, I appreciate the differentiation, because I think we expect so much when a plaza is built, mm-hmm. and then if no one uses it, you know, we try to go back in and figure out, well, what happened. Mm-hmm. And so if we can begin with a good definition of where we are, where the space is,
yeah.
and how people can get to it and how they use it is very important. And I think, Willis, updating the Renaissance plan, we did the plan in 2002 with $1 million was the cost of that plan.
The total cost was about $1.5 million.
$1.5 million.
And that included building a database that we, you know, from scratch, and as you know, things like that.
So how much do you feel the update to that Renaissance will cost?
It wouldn't cost that for certain. I've not really attempted to price anything like that or had talked with anybody, but it could be maybe a third of the cost. It depends on what we want to put in it. For example, and there's also ways that we can invest in pieces of a plan over time. We don't have to do it all at once. For example, I'd like to benchmark our park system more thoroughly against the peer city park systems that you saw today to see what we're doing well, what we're not doing well,
right.
and what would be required to bring us up to a higher level or provide a service that we're currently not providing. So you can do that. Mm-hmm. We'd also like to do an economic impact study of our park system, not only on downtown property values, but just as importantly on neighborhood residential property values. For example, a park that has been redeveloped in a neighborhood, look at the property values from a five-year period before the redevelopment and a five-year period after. See what the impact of investing in Dallas parks really is.
Great. Well, I do appreciate that. With the number of $850 million that we've reinvested since 2002, we should be able to see what the impact is. So will you put that in your next in your presentation to us on the update on parks in terms of what it would cost to update the Renaissance Plan? Because I want to make sure that we're ready for our next bond program that should focus on parks and libraries.
Be happy to do that.
Thank you. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Hassel. Mr. Kadane.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And Willis and Ms. Jones, thank you both for this report. Very good. And I really look forward to future briefings on these parks. Also, I'd like to thank Mr. Deckard once again for his input and all he's done for the inner city here. These assets are going to make this city great downtown. It's going to be a place people really do want to come. And it's going to be a quality of life for the people that live there. And that's another big asset for these folks. One thing I wanted to ask about, and Ms. Jones brought it up, was the parking. And I think on the West End and on the Farmers Market, I think you're going to get big draws there. Ms. Medrano said, people are going to be drawn to these parks, and because of the other activities going on down there. So are we set up for parking at these parks, and especially the new ones, and the ones at West End Farmers Market, I think are really going to need some parking.
Parking in support of the parks.
Yeah.
We haven't gotten that far in our analysis. We would certainly not try to achieve off-street parking within the park, so we would have to depend on perimeter parking, parallel parking, or parking off-site. Many of these parks are intended as neighborhood parks. Now, Clyde Warren Park certainly acts as a regional draw, and we're very dependent on off-street parking for that. We did include some perimeter parallel parking on the two frontage roads, but that's the only park so far that we've attempted to address the needs of parking from those outside of the service area of the park.
Well, I know that the Farmers Market's going to have its own parking
also,
and I guess could be an asset towards the park. But I just feel like you can get a lot of traffic in those parks.
It's something we need to think about.
Yeah, and I look forward to seeing the future plans and what moves forward, and hopefully we can get some kind of bond issue moving and get things going, because we really need them, and it's going to be great for the inner city to see these come along. It'll bring on also, I believe, more development. So thank you guys for your work. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you very much. Mr. Atkins.
Thank you, Mayor. Willis, on Grid's part, if you look at the park that's on the corner of 75 and Woodall Rogers, is there a reason why you did not include that in the master plan with the Carpenter Plaza? What was the thought behind it?
Yeah. The original 2004 Downtown Park Master Plan strictly was just inside the freeway loop, and so this was just a simple update of that plan. I think Mr. Carraway has pointed out, and you've pointed out, the importance of the parks outside of the loop. Completely agree. Those being Griggs and Dallas Heritage Village. And one of the things, and that ties into the Downtown 360 plan that Downtown Dallas Inc. Recently completed working with the city. What we next need to do is look beyond the downtown loop, because we have pages in our final report that we didn't show you today that show the expansive area of Dallas that outside of the loop, and there's really not very many parks that serve those areas.
Right, and the reason why I say that, you know, we're talking about uptown, we're talking about how you cross over.
Yes.
And you do have a boundary that you can't cross over.
Yeah.
and those people uptown. You know, I went to St. Peter's right there on Hall and State Street. Yes. We're talking about the density there.
Uh-huh.
And to me, I don't see the opportunity to be urban without a park in that density right there. And I hope that from this briefing that we can update this and kind of cross over the boundaries. And I think that the purpose of the briefing to get some input and my input, if we're going to grow uptown, there is not a part in uptown because you got to cross over boundary to get to our master plan. So we're not looking as a good visionary to move forward, to move those boundaries. And I think great part, you know, you look at an economic development, we just had a project with apartments going there, the Whole Foods going there, and what are they going to do? They can't cross over.
Yeah. Those parts do serve downtown residents, so let us take a look at including those within our analysis.
Right. Then also, when Ms. Coop was talking about a Renaissance plan, I think that was in 2002, and I think it's been over, you know, what, 14 years almost, you know, so I think it's time to update that also.
Okay.
Just without a thank
you.
Also. Thank you very much, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Margaret Golan.
Thank you, Mayor. Thank you for the presentation, and again, Mr. Deckard, thank you for your ongoing support of our downtown park system. Question about Main Street Garden. There was reference in the presentation to it needing overflow space, and I was curious about that because I drive by it pretty frequently and I don't see that many people there. So I was wondering why does it need overflow space?
The I think the people mainly are there in the evening and on weekends, and it is so, and I'm speaking now as a downtown resident with direct experience, it is completely overwhelmed with by downtown residents, by their dogs especially, and the impact on all of our downtown parks by the downtown dog population
right.
is extraordinary. It's something that we're trying to address by just putting more green space and more park acreage downtown mm-hmm. to spread out our park users and visitors from three sites to more sites and more locations.
Great. I mean, I'm delighted to hear that. I just wasn't aware of it.
Yeah, and Clyde Warren also is experiencing
that I see
the same
all the
problem.
Time.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
That's a good problem. Why is the Farmers Market Park the highest priority? It seems to me that the Farmers Market itself, when it's redeveloped, will become a gathering place.
Yeah.
So why is the addition of a park so important?
It's mainly the acquisition of the land, getting the land tied up for future development. We may actually not need to develop a park there for 5 or 10 years, but buying the land is the most critical part because the land, especially with the development of the farmers market, the land will not ever be cheaper than it is today. We were just trying to establish one priority that we could move forward with without getting into development costs of all the parks, then that's where we can really look for partnerships, as we've talked about. But it's the highest priority only from a land acquisition standpoint, because if we wait and buy it in 10 years, it could be double or triple the cost.
Mm-hmm. And then a last comment. I want to echo something that Mr. Carraway said earlier about the importance of public-private partnerships, not only when it comes to acquisition, although I realize we've already acquired a lot of the land, but in the build-out and the maintenance. I'm very, very concerned that we only have a finite pot of money and we'll always have a finite pot of money to maintain all of our parks, and that we not pull from the rest of the city with the expense of operating downtown parks, which I think in general are probably going to be much more costly to operate. And so that we're very, very careful to bring in private partners who, through naming rights or through whatever means, share in the cost of operations as well as construction.
And we are very concerned about that too, Ms. Margolin, the ongoing O&M burden to the city. We've addressed that in a couple of ways. Number one, we have a really strong partnership with Downtown Dallas, Inc., and they have taken over much of the maintenance or some of the maintenance responsibilities of our parks. For example, litter pickup, horticultural management, safety and security with their downtown safety patrol, and other things like that. They've really stepped up, especially at Main Street Garden, but also at Belo Garden. They also do all the marketing and event staging for our downtown park. So that's taken a tremendous burden off the park system in the city that would need to otherwise fund those expenses. In the case of Belo Garden, Mr. Deckard has generously endowed a $1 million permanent endowment for major maintenance of that park. So we were able to address that. And then finally with Clyde Warren Park, yeah. Our use agreement with the Woodall Rogers Park Foundation, as you know, requires them to operate, maintain, and manage the park for 99 years.
Okay. Thank you very much, and thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Ms. Alonzo.
Thank you, Mayor. I did ask Mr. Winters about the traffic, especially in the Carpenter Park area. And would you elaborate a little bit on that, please?
Well, the Carpenter Park is being reconfigured now to eliminate the two streets that bisect the park, that currently bisect the park, and I think it separates it into three different parcels, each of which is useless by itself, but by moving the street configuration, it creates a 8.7-acre park, which is now usable as a park. So that the traffic analysis was done for that allowed the city to reconfigure the streets. The other street closure is proposed is Live Oak Street, which currently separates Pacific Plaza from Aston Park or Aston Plaza. There are two left as you're coming in, entering downtown on Live Oak. There are two left-hand turn movements that you can take before you get to Harwood Street that allow commuters to get into the street grids. We've not done a thorough traffic analysis on it other than that we've done the traffic counts and we've taken a very high-level look at it. It's something that we definitely have to work with city transportation on before any final decisions are made on that. It's similar to what was the success that we had at Clyde Warren Park where, we closed Harwood Street. Mm-hmm. And we had to kind of swallow hard and take a very close and determine, look at that to see if it would really work. It did. It's the first time that we've ever closed a downtown street for a park project like that. So I think, and it's been very successful. Things have worked out from a traffic standpoint, and it's just a matter of people getting used to the traffic movements that they have to do to enter downtown. So Live Oak, Pacific Plaza, and potential closure of Live Oak is something we would have to study very carefully as well.
Thank you. And you talked about the cost overall, but is there specific numbers for the parks, or that was just like an overall number?
For the downtown parks? What's on the screen behind me is probably land acquisition and development is probably an $80 to $100 million project.
Okay. Thank you very much for that information and for the presentation, both of you. Also, I would like to know, or when we get a chance, Mr. Mayor, to be able to get some updates on all the parks.
Okay.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you. Mr. Griggs?
Thank you, Mayor. This is a wonderful presentation. And the hallmark of any downtown is life between the buildings. And this effort to create more of these pocket parks, neighborhood parks, is going to bring us life between the buildings. So this is an exciting day for Dallas. Also, with these great amenities, what makes density, which we want to achieve density in our downtown possible, is increased amenities. Density is certainly desirable when you have an amenity-rich environment. And these pocket parks are going to go a long way to making that possible. So this is a great presentation, a great opportunity. I also think this is a great morning for our parks and our bicycles because the previous item was the potential for the transportation grant for the Coombs Creek Trail and for Riverfront and Beckley. So really connecting that trail system into downtown and to our trails in between the levees, as well as the bicycle education program, which potentially we approved for the grant this morning. So this is really a great morning for our parks and for all the space between our buildings. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Griggs. Mr. Allen.
Mr. Decker, everybody said thank you, and I just want to make sure I say thank you, too, because it's leadership like yours that makes this city what it is, and it's one heck of a city. So thank you very much. Thank you very much. Also, I want to thank Councilman Griggs. We were talking about density and such, and we talked throughout 7,000-8,000 people downtown, and so one can say, well, that's just not a whole lot. But at the end of the day, Councilman Griggs reminds me there's, what, 130,000 folks that work downtown. That's pretty big time. So there is a lot of density that goes along with it. Just real quick question. As far as the downtown park priorities in the long-term future, who all had input into this?
We had a stakeholder group that participated in several of the input meetings early on, downtown stakeholders. Downtown Dallas obviously had a big role in this. They brought people into the process, Downtown Residents Council.
We met with the Omni, we met with the Convention Center, we met with West End,
the Farmers Market Development Group. So anyone that was around one of these four parks and other parks that we don't have shown. For example, we didn't show you the proposal for a small park at the corner in front of the convention center, but we met with all of the people and stakeholders in those areas.
Input from, say, the assistant city managers also?
Yes, ma'am. Yes, sir.
Okay. Slide 7. Lower left-hand corner, it's got those kids with there at the below, but it's that is always to me so cool, the way you work the water and kids coming in. That's the activity. I mean, what does something like that cost? Just if you were just to do that, is that
just a fountain? A
yeah,
fountain
just
like
have
that.
Just have a little water.
Probably a million.
Whoa. Yeah, well, I tell you what, it's still cool any way you cut it.
Anyway, and that's by comparison, that's about the cost of a spray ground at Lake Highlands North or at Ferguson, $1 million.
Yeah, because what's so cool, because you got the kids, but also what's neat, you got the parents sitting on the side watching it, and that is the involvement that goes on. So anyway, well, good deal. Sound like you got a lot of involvement, a lot of input, and obviously there's a lot of excitement because we've already seen what's been going on here in Dallas, and then to anticipate what's going to continue to go on, that's exciting. That's exciting. So thank you much, and thanks for your leadership on this, too. Thank you, Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Ms. Medrano.
Thank you. Well, it's, I was just thinking about just a little further east, the Deep Ellum area. You have Pillar Park. You've got the dog park, the Bark Park, and then you've got, you know, a little community garden going on there. I'd like to see something, maybe we could add to what the Deep Ellum Foundation has so successfully done in that area as well. We'll soon have the law school, and then, you know, Fair Park. We're getting ready to open that 9 months of the year. So I think that would probably be a nice walk for people to go toward Fair Park as well.
Completely agree.
Thank you. And on the Harwood property, I know that we haven't purchased that. I did get a couple of emails right now from folks that I guess have leases there, and I've assured them that, you know, the property has not been bought, but I know that they've said that they've made quite investment there, some businesses there. Will somebody speak to them, or at least rest assured that you know, nothing's going to be done right at this moment.
Yes, ma'am, we will. We'll
and
be
I will
in touch.
Share those.
We'll be in touch with
property
each.
Owners.
We'd like to get that information. But basically, as I said, we have no money right now to move forward with acquisition. But let's pretend that we did. We would meet with each one, negotiate a fair price. We have no money to build the park. So it's, even if we were to buy the property, the leases would still be in place. People could still live in their residences or work there. They'd just be leasing from the city instead of from another private landowner. And we could even consider a living trust if someone needs to stay in a certain house or, you know, an accommodation or residence until a certain point in time. We've done that successfully in other parks as well, where we bought a house and the people wanted to stay there for a period of time. So there's a lot of options there.
Okay.
But there, I guess the message today is there's no danger of anyone being forced out of either a lease or a residence in the foreseeable future.
Thank you very much, and I'll share those names with you. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Medrano. Well, let me echo everyone's enthusiasm for the plan and the work that has been done and the appreciation to all parties on it. Let me ask one question and then I'll make a comment. Have we started tracking the visits to our downtown parks? The number.
Other than me estimating at the parks that I go to, for example, on a Sunday afternoon at Clyde Warren Park, through some calculations, I've estimated there's 2,500 to 4,000 people at one time at 2 o'clock on it. But we've not done the overall, the metrics, and we need to, and that's something that I want to do in this coming year.
Okay. Well, you know,
yes.
When I was on the park board, I think it's important to track these things, especially so we can understand which parks are used, why they're used, that sort of stuff. Jody Grant told me that they've got a little process, but it's not all the way there either. Just to answer Ms. Margolin's question, for instance, a Main Street garden, you just say, well, let me tell you what the numbers are. Yeah. Boom, boom. You know, and I think it's really important.
The metrics of our, not just downtown, our whole park system are very important, and we're going to be working on that this
Good.
Year.
Good. Just a couple of comments. First of all, I think it's easy to be enthusiastic about this, and then you go, well, what about the rest of the city? And I think that's one of the tugs that we have. For me, my first area when I thought about putting this Grow South initiative together was downtown and south of downtown, the direct south of downtown, because I think as downtown gets that population and grows, it is going to continue to cascade towards Fair Park. It's going to continue to cascade across the bridge to West Dallas. And so, to me, this is a central part of growing Southern Dallas, and I think these investments are starting to pay off. Just getting people moving south is a big part of this strategy. We have, you as a city council have done a fabulous job when you think about what has happened over the last 10 years. We calculated the other day between, just an estimate, between private and public money in the last decade, we've spent $160 million in parks downtown. That is a remarkable investment in one of the most difficult economic times this country has ever faced. And it's a combination of philanthropy, federal money, or city money, but putting all that together is a great example of public-private partnership and what it's doing. So while that number that we're talking about to complete this is a big number, it's very doable when you look at what we've done in the past 12 months. I think as we think about how to get that money, I don't have the answers, and we're going to do a lot of work on that. But there are two important strategies I want to articulate. First of all, we have an election that we voted on last week to sell, to get a referendum to sell Elgin B. Robinson parkland by Lake Ray Hubbard. All right? And that is going to be on the ballots. That money is going to be used to reinvest in park initiatives, park downtown parks, local parks or aquatic centers, whatever we want to do with that. That is an important, and the citizens need to know that is a way that they can move some money and some value in places that we don't use to places that we do use. So I want to reiterate, and I've talked to Mr. Wells about that. The second thing is we need to make sure that the Dallas Parks Foundation comes into its own and really starts to raise significant tens of millions of dollars for this city long term for our parks, because other cities have corpuses in their foundations that help. We need that as well. So as we think through this, and Mr. Wells is and I are very aligned on this issue as well, I just want to, when in doubt, if you are wanting to put a great gift in your trust to the city of Dallas, giving to the Dallas Parks Foundation and building that up over time, I think is extremely important. And I'll be looking for the leadership of that foundation to step up and figure out how it does it as well. So I want to say thank you again, and I agree that this is it's fun to clip ribbons, but it's also fun to paint visions, and today we painted one of those, and thank you for your leadership, and thank you, Mr. Deckard, once again. We we will close this item out. We will take our afternoon speakers, or the end of the meeting speakers right now, and then we'll go into executive session.
Your first speaker is Ozamba Lunk. Not present. Richard Sheridan. Not present. William Hopkins. Not present. Trina Trish. Not present. Gwen Wooten. Not present. And Lakoya London. Not present. No speakers, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you. It is 10:50 a.m., March 6, 2013. City Council will now go into closed session under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice from and consult with the city attorney on the following matters described in today's agenda: National Solid Waste Management Association et al. V. City of Dallas et al. And under Section 551.074 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to consider the personnel matters involving the city attorney's office and the city attorney. Thank you. We will, while people are leaving, I've been told that I'm trying to shoot for this to be done by 11:30 because the first group is on the bus at 12?
12:50 is when we're out the door. The first group will be needing to leave City Hall at 12:50.
All right, so if you're on the first wave down there, the bus is pulling out at 12:50. Okay?
First wave.
The second group, thank you. Hi, it is 11:22 p.m., March 6, 2013. City Council will now go back into session. We met under Section 551071 of the Texas Open Meetings Act to receive advice and consulted with the city attorney on the following matters described in the agenda: National Solid Waste Management Association et al. V. City of Dallas et al. And under Section 551074 of the Texas Meetings Act to consider personnel matters involving the city's attorney's office and city attorney. We are back into session. With that, I think Mr. Allen, right?
Absolutely.
Has something to say.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys, girls, kids of all ages. We have a birthday lady that's here with us today. And Mr. Today, I want you to prepare some boys to ring loud and clear. What folks are supposed to
do? Miss Laza?
Yeah.
Yes. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Miss Lonzo. Happy birthday to you.
All right.
With that, the meeting is adjourned.
All right.
Thank you. Yes, I'm on the second floor.
Meeting adjourned at 11:24.